Every year, as Mother's and Father's Day roll around, my friends tell stories about the wonderful relationships they have or had with their parents. I loved my parents, but I have few heartwarming stories that involve them. Complicated familial relationships make grief more complicated, too. When my parents died, both times my grief was stirred into a complex stew of guilt, anger, regret, and relief, rather than simple sorrow. My father died on Labor Day in 1980, which was the day before school started where I was teaching. It was very sudden and unexpected. He was 50 years old, and he collapsed with a heart attack at the Chicago firehouse where he worked. At the time, whenever Irish Catholic Chicago firemen died, their families held a wake lasting 2 nights so that firemen on duty one night could show up the next. The wake and funeral were very intense for me. It was lovely, but disconcerting and distressing to hear my cousins tell stories about their beloved Uncle Jim. With them, he was fun, funny, and generous, qualities he'd never displayed at home. I got through the 3-day ordeal without betraying any anger or bitterness, but neither could I cry. Throughout that entire time, I didn't shed a single tear. Bitterness would change nothing and would cast a shadow over my future as well as my past. As we drove home to Madison after everything was over late Friday, it was impossible for me to tease out how I felt. I was lost in a hurricane of emotion. First thing in the morning, I headed out to my beloved Picnic Point. Somehow, spending time with birds always clears my head and helps me deal with the problems I'm facing. Dense morning fog made it impossible to see all but the closest birds, somehow fitting my black Dickensian orphan mood perfectly. Being September, most birds were as silent as the grave. At the far end of the pond, in the clipped grass of the student playing fields, I saw 4 bird-like shapes, ghosts rising from the earth, Marley and the ghosts of past, present, and to come arriving on the scene together. I walked toward them, my gait slow, as much from my dark mood as because I didn't want to scare them. At this point, they really did seem more like ghosts than real birds. They stayed put, standing still or gently probing the grave-like earth below, heedless of the lost wanderer approaching them. The morning was brightening, the fog gently lifting, and little by little my ghosts took on a more corporeal form as sandpipers. But they weren't quite like any sandpipers I'd ever seen before, appearing almost dove-like with their soft brownish-buff plumage and large, innocent eyes. The fog was lifting in my brain at the same time as the specters materialized into buff-breasted sandpipers, the first I'd ever seen, these lifers arising from the ashes of my messy grief. They allowed me to approach strangely close as they remained silent and unwary. When I dared walk no closer, I sat down in the wet grass to watch them, these birds that just days earlier had been up on the open tundra in the Arctic Circle and were taking momentary respite on their long journey to the pampas of Argentina. Something about their quiet, calm stillness reassured me. Faith in a benevolent universe had carried these birds this far, and they didn't seem worried about tomorrow or bitter about the storms they'd weathered. Suddenly I realized I was sobbing, the first tears I'd shed all week. These were tears of release. For the first time, I was feeling simple grief for my dad. Those buff-breasted sandpipers showed up exactly when I needed them. I don't know how long the sandpipers stayed in that grassy place right near me, but it was exactly long enough. I didn't move or stand up until they finally took their leave, winging toward the rising sun. Those 4 buff-breasted sandpipers were the best birds ever. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.